You are listening to Your Sound Alternative, 88.1 FM, KVSC. The time now is 5:05, and now is the time we've all been waiting for. We have a very special guest in our studio this afternoon. We're now joined by Matt Roloff. Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
My name's Chris Duffy, and to describe a little bit about Matt Roloff, in case you've never heard of him, he's best known for being the father on the TLC reality show, Little People, Big World. Matt has spent his life as an advocate for dwarfism. Tonight at 7:30, the farmer, inventor, businessman, author, and reality TV star. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
He will speak at Ritchie Auditorium here at St. Cloud State. Tickets are free for students. They get 2 free tickets with a student ID and $5 for members of the public. You came in the day after a big storm. How are your travels coming in here?
Actually, it was easy. It was a piece of cake. I was kind of expecting braced for the worst, but I took off out of Portland early this morning and went through Denver, and there was no delay, so it was very smooth sailing.
Were you surprised at all with the amount of snow we have here, or have you been seeing a lot of that?
I was a little surprised. It was funny. Once we got out of the northwest and over the Rocky Mountains, the whole country is blanketed in snow.
Mm-hmm. I guess my first question for you is, this is radio. People can't see you. Can you, from a physical standpoint, can you describe yourself, who you are?
Yeah, well, you know, what's unique about myself and also my family is that we have dwarfism. And basically, you know, generally speaking, define dwarfism as one of 200 types of genetic effect. And my family, my wife is also a little person or a person with dwarfism. And then one of my I have 4 children. One of my children is also with dwarfism.
Okay. Take us a little through your career. A lot of people just know you as the reality TV star, but you've had a pretty prominent career up until then. Can you take us a little bit, some of the things you did before you started your show on TLC?
Yeah, well, I came out of high school and pretty undistinguished high school career, but I back then, you know, programming was kind of computer programming we've been talking about back in 1979, 1980, and took a logic exam, and that they kind of fast-tracked me into a programming position and built my career from there. This was in San Jose, California, down in the Silicon Valley, and I went from designing various software into sales and was selling software. I specialized in what we call service logistics or reverse logistics software and sort of stayed focused on that and became sort of known published a number of articles on various techniques and programming techniques back in that day. And that was my career. I was sitting behind a computer screen and programming, and then I got out in sales and got to kind of see the world. Spent a lot of time here in Minneapolis working on a big deal for Best Buy. So
wow.
Spent a lot of time on the road, and that led to some of my other business endeavors.
Good for you. Let's talk about your family a little bit. You touched on them a little bit. How many kids do you have? Can you take us through each of them and tell us a little bit about each of them?
Yeah, I have 4 kids. I have 3 boys. Now, what's interesting is Amy and I are little. We're both around 4 foot tall. And I have a type of dwarfism called diastrophic dwarfism, which means I have a lot of problems with my joints. So I don't really get around all that great. You know, my joints, I use little crutches to walk or a little scooter to get around on. Amy, on the other hand, is the more classic type of dwarfism, which is achondroplasia. It's more common, and she gets around really, really well. I mean, she can kind of, you know, mobilize in any direction she wants. But then we had twin boys, and the twin boys, one of them was little, like had the same type of dwarfism she had, and one of them is average size. We call it average size, but a tall person. And then we had a 50% chance of having little people. So when we had the twins, and one was tall, one was small, we kind of played perfectly the odds. Then we had our next child was Molly, who's now 16. My twin boys are 19. Molly's 16, and she was average size. And we thought, okay, well, if we have a fourth, it's definitely going to be a little person again. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. It was Jacob, our youngest, who was 13, was also average size. So we like to say our family's perfectly balanced because there's 3 of us that are small and 3 of us that are tall. So there was a point in time that we were all exactly the same height.
There was one time.
one year, I remember, we were all pretty much the same height.
Let's talk about a little bit of the daily obstacles you face being a little person. Can you touch on some of those things that a lot of us take for granted?
Well, you know, there's a lot of social, you know, probably the most obvious is, of course, the physical things. You can go to a grocery store and you can't reach things on the, you know, anything above 4 foot, you know, high, you can't really reach, because not only are you short, but you, your arms are shorter, and so you can't reach above your head. Yeah. So reaching things, climbing in and out, you know, people take stools for granted. They don't realize that, you know, a 12-inch step is kind of tricky to navigate when you're, you know, short. And so there's the physical limitations that things are just not built for. You know, you sit on a chair or in an airplane, for example, your legs hang over and they fall asleep. And but then there's the social stigmas, which is not, you know, as obvious. And, you know, we live in a world that rewards tall, dark, and handsome. And mm-hmm. it's important for, you know, people to I saw an ad the other day, for a local ad out in Portland, where they, you know, were talking about their cars and the big saving. It was a car ad, and we're talking about the big cars and the big savings, and we have a big sales manager, you know. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, it's still a society that really rewards size is good, and it's in. And so somebody who's small, you know, is or short, you know, or different is not thought of as well. So there's been a lot of uphill battles with people that have dwarfism in the employment arena and just in general social circles.
I know you've been a big advocate for little people throughout your life. Have you seen any progress made in your lifetime, and what type of progress still needs to be made?
You know, I have seen progress, tremendous progress. I think that my son, Zachary, who's a little person, you know, is reaping the benefit of many, many people that have been involved, you know, for years and years, dating back to the actor Billy Barty, who founded the Little People of America, and they've been a social advocacy group for over 50 years now. And I was able to participate in different positions within that organization, and it's been you know, one of the things that led to our show was what we call the community outreach program, that we went around to schools and taught kids about dwarfism, and we used dwarfism really as the perfect metaphor for anybody that's different. If you can get your head wrapped around somebody with dwarfism being kind of just like you, then you can get your head wrapped around anybody who is missing an arm or maybe blind or has some other disability, you know, being like you too. One of the biggest compliments we get now from people that watch our show is to say, you know, when we first started, it was, we kind of cringed. We thought it was voyeurism, and you know, we were watching, it was kind of fun, you know, interesting to watch how you moved and how you got along. But now we watch the show and we just see any regular dysfunctional family.
That's great that your show has been able to change people's attitudes. In case you're just joining us, we're talking with Matt Roloff. He's the father on the TLC reality show Little People, Big World, speaking tonight at the Ritchie Auditorium here at St. Cloud State at 7:30. Let's talk a little bit about how you're treated in society. You talked a little bit about the physical limitations as far as trying to reach things at the grocery store. How are you treated in society? Are there still obstacles in that sense?
Yeah, I think that society has made tremendous progress in terms of acceptance of little people. I mean, you know, certainly people, you know, have the plaques on the wall and talk the talk and go to the courses where they learn about difference and adversity and things. You know, whether little people's, you know, the unemployment rate, you know, et cetera, has dropped is tough to measure. I think that things like our show, and there's other shows out now that are showing other little people in their lives, you know, is helping society. It's desensitizing. It's like, oh, that's just a little person. It's not as big of a deal. But, you know, you still walk down the street and people are often, you know, don't know what to think, and there's still the teasing that goes on. I know with my son Zachary, I think that's becoming less and less, but it's still out there. There's still social stigmas to people with difference or people with size, you know, that are little people. But it's definitely, definitely improved, definitely getting better. People are more accepting. People are willing to give you a chance, you know. You don't have to work as hard to constantly be selling them. My, you know, adolescents growing up, I constantly had to be selling myself into the next job or into the next opportunity, you know, even getting a paper route. Most kids could just walk up and say, I'll take a paper route. You know, I had to sell the folks on letting me have my paper route and convince them that I could do mm-hmm. it. So, you know, there's those factors. But it makes you more resilient. It makes you a better person, stronger person. And if you can plow through those obstacles in life, you know, I think there's definitely an advantage to being, to having something, you know, to having some difference.
Let's switch gears here for a second and talk about your show. We have some fans in the studio here. When it was first announced that you would be coming to St. Cloud State, a lot of people got very excited. You're very well liked. How did life change for you when you started your role as the father on this show?
as opposed to being the mother. I don't know. I don't even know how it's changed, because to be honest, I know it's hard for people to believe. We really don't. I think the entire family would say this. We still live our life very normal. People around are the town that we live in. It's really when we get out and about and we travel when we start to go, oh my gosh, people must be watching this show and know who we are, and they'll stop us in airports to take photos and stuff. But around our town, we're just the Roloffs, and I'm just Matt, and just goofing around and doing the things that I do on my farm. And I think we've noticed that, the increase in the amount of people that want to come out to our farm and during our pumpkin season and what have you. But, and my kids seem to be real well grounded. I know that, to make TV, you have to, edit things together and have drama. But we don't feel like we've changed at all. I do think you do end up putting up, a thicker skin and some, you put up some armor, if you will. You're not always as accessible to people as you'd like to be, because there's so many people that want to, sort of have a piece of you. So when I travel, my kids will say, Dad, you didn't stop and say hi to that person. It's like, hey, man, we would never get where we're going if we were able to stop and say hi to everybody. So we try to do the best we can to, engage with folks that, would like to take a photo and what have you. But at the same time, it's not possible to return every email that we receive and to, return every phone call that we get now. It's just that it's a massive number of people that have watched our show. Has like 200 episodes. And so, millions and millions of people have seen it over time. And that's a lot of exposure that I don't know that we're always cognizant of until we actually get kind of hit with it.
Mm-hmm. It has been very successful. Are you surprised with the amount of success Little People, Big World has enjoyed?
I can tell you that we are very, very, very surprised. We still scratch our heads. We do not understand it. We think, what in the world are people thinking that want to watch this show? And because we just don't see what, we've called the show about nothing. And, but for whatever reason, people seem to be intrigued by our family, I think initially with our size. But more so now, I think from the emails that we get, it's really just about a family that's trying to figure it out and making mistakes and, doing some things right and some things wrong and not always, not always knowing how to answer a problem, but willing to work together as a family unit to try to, figure it out.
It seems like it's a popular theme in reality television right now to watch a show about people different other than who they are. Do you feel like your show is important in the sense that it's changing people's perceptions on Little People?
I think it is important for that reason. I think that was our mission. That was our goal when we start off. Certainly reality television, contrary to popular belief, doesn't really, it's not a big financial equation. Of course, that's gotten better over time, but it really is a kind of a, I'll use a corny phrase, labor of love. You want to educate people, and you have the opportunity to have a platform and again to desensitize folks about people with dwarfism. And again, dwarfism is a good metaphor for anybody with difference. So that has been our mission. We've continued to, get a wider and wider audience around the world now. It's being shown in, virtually every country around the world. And I think we, feel like there has been something sort of sacrificial for our own family, but to be able to get our message out and to share with people. And I think to some extent, it's still disappointing. We'll see even when comedians come on and they'll make fun of Little People and the brunt of jokes and what have you. But I think that it's definitely gotten better and better.
Good. In case you're just joining us, we're speaking with Matt Roloff. Matt will be speaking at Ritchie Auditorium here at St. Cloud State tonight at 7:30. Tickets are free for students. If you show your student ID, you get 2 free tickets and $5 for members of the public. We're going to wrap things up in just a second here. I just want to talk a little bit about your speech tonight. What are some of the main points you'd like to get across to the students and community members there?
Well, one of the things that I've learned in my life, having sort of a rough childhood with all the surgeries and a lot of medical time, is really learning how to be resilient is a very important message. And because there's a lot of things in your life that you cannot control. But there's a few things that you can control, and your resiliency, your own internal muscle of resiliency, is one of those muscles that you can build up regardless of whether you're in a hospital, in a body cast, in a prison. You can learn, teach yourself to be resilient, and that resiliency can pay dividends in a lot of different ways, in business and in your personal life. And so, teaching yourself how to develop your sense of hope, your sense of resiliency, and your sense of achievement, it can really change your life, and you can go on to lead not an ordinary life, and not just survive, but to lead an extraordinary life and to learn how to thrive in your life. And I think that's an important message for anybody to hear.
Well, we really appreciate you coming out to St. Cloud in this horrible weather. You just barely missed the weather window, so we appreciate you coming out here, and we're looking forward to your speech tonight.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
Matt Roloff, thank you very much for joining us. He's best known for being the father on the TLC reality show Little People, Big World. Matt has spent his life as an advocate for dwarfism. Tonight at 7:30, the farmer, inventor, businessman, author, and reality TV star will speak at the Ritchie Auditorium here at St. Cloud State. Tickets are free for students and $5 for members of the public. My thanks again to Matt Roloff for joining us. Coming up next, Steve will be back to wrap up the last hour or so of the afternoon Progressive Rock Show. My name's Chris Duffy. Thanks for joining us.